Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Dolson. Pete, how the devil are you?
Still enthusiastic, and that's the main thing, even after a year and a bit not being allowed into the shores of Japan. And look, if they're not going to take the vaccines, I don't think anyone's going to be visiting anytime soon, because it's a risk, isn't it? It's a risk. Very upset with this news about the vaccine-shy Japanese.
Yes. For those of you that missed the episode of Wednesday, we did talk about that briefly. Japan has only started doing vaccines recently because they're a nation of vaccine sceptics for various reasons that I need to read up on. But yes, hopefully they'll see the light now that millions have had it around the world and there's not been any serious cases. God forbid.
But I'm a serious case, mate.
How dare
I'm
you?
A real serious case. Did you see, I can't remember whether I mentioned it on this last week's show, but I just love the story. It makes me so happy that a man got called in early for his vaccine and he wasn't really sure why because he didn't have any underlying problems and he's quite young until he realised that the surgery had him down as being 6 inches tall.
Oh yeah, that was the UK, right?
So he was clinically obese. Very enjoyable. He's from Liverpool. Big fat pancake of a man.
Oh god,
it's my favourite story.
How did that happen? How did they screw up his height so badly? Is six?
I don't know. He would look like a big pancake or a big. He'd be like the size of a tennis court. 6 inches tall.
6 inches tall.
6 inches tall, 16 stone. Fantastic.
Well, did he get the vaccine, though, after being brought in an error?
No, I don't think so, oh. No. Did you see and also, like, I love these kind of, like, stories about people trying to... This rich couple pretend to be a labourer or a cleaner or a care worker to try and get, like, leap the line a little bit. And also, what else? I think... Two young women skipped the line to pretend. They pretended they were like in the 70s in America, and they were getting a telling off. But they'd only had one jab. They were going back for the second one. Incredible behaviour.
Sneaky rascals. You haven't had it yet, have you? No jabs for you?
No, I've not. No, I have quite bad asthma. I take drugs every morning and night. I don't know why I've not been invited. Probably not regarded as being important. Old PED. I'll just go over here and. But well done to everyone who has got it.
You're 50% of the.
I quite like the word.
You are. You're 50% of the Abroad in Japan podcast. Your life is invaluable. Like if something happens to you, Pete, it would take me at least 45 minutes to find a replacement.
To find someone else.
So stressful.
And the figures. And the figures would never recover to their original low state.
Oh man! But I've had another busy day editing yet another video. At the time this podcast has come out. Hopefully the Kyoto video that I mentioned last week has come out about Kyoto townhouses. And I've got another video this week with Ryotaro. It's Ryotaro month. Like, he's everywhere at the moment. We've been in like two videos together. I've been on his channel at British Hills. And now we've got a video coming out where him and I stayed together in a traditional Japanese inn and had sake in a forest. There was a sake brewery, right?
That's lovely.
It was really good. Like, there's a sake brewery. Have you been on like a sake brewery tour anywhere?
No, I went to one. I can't even remember where it Blumen was, but I went to one and
Niigata,
I had a lovely time. Say again,
Niigata.
Yes, Niigata. Yeah, and I never actually went into the tour because I was too scared. That's the problem with being a bit of a scaredy cat. You want to experience things, you want to talk to people, but you're just too scaredy, and you'll be on your deathbed and you'll be like, oh, I'm really annoyed I didn't go on that brewery tour in 2019. But yeah, I mean, like, I just kind of found myself on this in like the waiting room or like the gift shop. So I picked up some sake glasses and went home to my Airbnb. I don't know why I didn't do it. I'm an idiot. I'm an absolute idiot.
I love the way that is going to be a deathbed moment. Like, oh no, I should have gone on the Niigata Sake Brewery tour.
I wanted to try some sake, some delicious sake.
Well, you won't have to now because we've done it in the video for you, Pete. You can watch it in 4K. Hopefully, when the time this podcast comes out, the video will be out and you can watch me drinking sake out of a glass by a river in a forest. It's going to be glorious.
What a treat.
It was good. Like, I've been on these sake brewery tours. They're always rubbish. Like, I think I even know the one you didn't go in Niigata because I've been there and it wasn't that good, apart from the free samples.
Okay, so right.
Just go into the gift shop at the end and get the free samples and run. But this sake brewery, all sake breweries, they play up the importance of the water, right? They're like, there's only two ingredients in sake. One of them's water, so it's got to be good. So this sake brewery went to with Ryotaro, the guy literally took us to the source of the spring up a mountain somewhere in a forest.
Okay.
And he he made us like drink the water. Tasted all right, I guess. And then he cracked out like a champagne bottle of sake, like this carbonated sake that was magical. We drank it in a glass while sitting in the stream. It was pretty good, actually. And I felt bad for Ryotaro because he can't drink without breaking out into some sort of really bad health issues. Like, he goes bright red, and if he drinks one glass of wine, he needs to go to hospital. But the guy was like, go on, drink it, yeah. And he was like, trying to save face and be nice. He was like, oh, okay, no, well, and he sort of, you can see him like sitting in the stream.
Ryotaro's so healthy. Like, he must be so healthy. He must be absolutely ripped.
He's healthy, but he just, for some reason, sadly, he's got like an allergic reaction to alcohol.
Alcohol, right. Or maybe it's just, it's just grain alcohol. Maybe you could try, he's tried all the different ones, all the different flavours, vodka, beer. Just try a little bit of everything. See what happens. Tequila.
Find the quickest way to kill him.
You can make booze out of everything, can't you? Anything you can turn booze in.
It'll be a nice twist on the narrative of him always trying to kill me. Turn it around.
Yeah.
Give him some whiskey and some wine. Exact the revenge that I deserve. We've got a story this week from Terry. And the subject header is, it could have been a disaster. Oh, that is an enticing subject header. It begins, hello guys, I'm Terry from Snohomish, Washington. Is that a place? Snohomish?
Sounds lovely.
Snohomish?
Snohomish.
Snohomish.
Ooh.
I wanted to tell you all about the only bad experience I had in Japan. Me and my wife took our first trip to Japan at the end of 2019, and we decided to save a little bit of money and take the overnight bus from Tokyo to Osaka instead of the bullet train. We figured saving $100 and not having to buy a hotel room for the two nights would be a smart idea. The trip down to Osaka wasn't too horrible. The bus was nice with fancy chairs, but every few hours they'd stop at the Michinoeki or rest areas. And this was the first hiccup of the trip. After trying to sleep on a bumpy, poorly driven bus for a few hours, I misunderstood our departure time in my sleep-deprived mind. Luckily, Japan being Japan, the bus driver came running into the smoking area and dragged me back to the bus, which was quite entertaining unto itself, because I didn't speak Japanese and the driver didn't speak English. Now, the way back to Tokyo is when it got interesting. We planned to go back in the morning, and our plane home left that night. For some reason, there was a lot of traffic in the middle of the night, and our 8-hour bus journey quickly turned into 11. Good God, that's never good. Can't stand night buses, let alone ones that are a lot longer than they need to be. I was so sick.
I don't mind the ones that have got little hammocks in them. I've done Glasgow to London before, and they've got little hammocks in them. It used to be like the Megabus. Megabus used to do a special sleeper one with hammocks, and they worked. They were nice. I liked it.
Have you been on a Japanese night bus? Ain't no Mega Alex.
No, I haven't.
Ain't no Mega Alex there. Terry says, I was so sick of being on the bus that I decided to get off two bus stops ahead of our schedule ahead of our departure stop and just take the subway the rest of the way. After not sleeping all night and being in a hurry to get off, my wife left her purse and passport on the bus. So there we were, standing in the outskirts of Tokyo with a few hours until our flight departure with my wife's passport on a random bus. I was able to ask a local to help us call the bus company on his phone, and after some back and forth, the bus company had no idea what to do. As a last-ditch effort, we took the subway to our scheduled bus stop, and sure enough, as we walked into the station, the bus we were on pulled in moments later. My wife found her purse sitting in the exact spot she left it, and we were able to travel home. We were extremely lucky to get it back, so the moral of the story is just take the damn bullet train. Thank you, guys. P.S. One of the best travel experiences I've ever had was renting an electric bike and travelling all over Kyoto for a day. All the best, Terry. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, that is incredibly fortuitous. The things with flights, I never know. If it's a big like international flight that's like hours and hours and hours, is it cheaper to rebook? Because I remember the only time I've ever had to rebook because I've done something stupid was turn up for my New Year's Eve's flight to San Francisco. I was going out with a mate, and I turned up and I just didn't have my passport with me, like an absolute idiot. So I had to book on a later flight and it cost me £400, and I was like, you know what? In the grand scheme of things, that is not as bad as I thought it was going to be. And it was a nicer Virgin Atlantic plane as well.
That's great.
Second time around.
Wonderful, wonderful. I mean, we've had a lot of stories over the years on this podcast about folks losing stuff, and very rarely has it gone really badly wrong and they've not got it back. And I think that's quite reassuring. I'd say Japan, if I was to make a list of countries that are the safest place to lose your passport, your wallet, your mum, whatever.
And your mind.
Japan is the best place to lose them, because you'll get them back, because people are pretty honest compared to the UK.
Completely agree.
Where if it's on the floor, it's yours for the taking.
It's mine. It's mine now, isn't it? I would be the most conscientious person at Haneda Airport. I'd be like worrying about people's property and giving it back to the service, you know, who the appropriate people are. But then as soon as I touch down at Heathrow or Gatwick,
the thief.
It's just getting jammed in my pocket. I'm shoplifting in Dixon's, I'm shoplifting in WH Smith's, I'm a real scumbag, baby.
We become the very country we live in and visit. I like that.
Exactly.
Do as the Romans do. But don't get the night bus. I used to get the night bus a lot in my first few years when I had no money, and I hate it.
False economy?
It's just horrible, isn't it? The night bus is...
Yeah.
Oh, man. I remember...
Because, I mean, I just imagine bus tickets in Japan are still fairly punchy. Like, it's not like $10. It'd still be a decent amount of money. But because you always sort of think, oh, well, I'll just sleep on the way there. You won't.
Exactly right. Like, the night bus from Tokyo to Kyoto or Osaka is about $30, $40, I think. Whereas the bullet train, you're looking at about $120. Although, I guess you do save the cost of... finding somewhere to stay the night, which is why I did it, right? You kind of save the price of the hotel and the bullet train, so it's $150 saving, but it's just not fun.
You can't sleep
like the amount of times I've been stuck next to someone snoring their head off, and you have to do that thing where you're on the night bus for like 8 hours, you don't sleep at all, but you're not really sure how much sleep you've had. So you sort of have to lie to yourself, like, yeah, body, we had 6 hours sleep. But your body's like, fuck off. I know, we've not even had two. Didn't. And you have to go to war with yourself. It's horrible. But it is cheap, so, But also, with the bullet trains, bullet trains are fun. You can sit on them. The one from Tokyo to Osaka as well, if you sit on the right-hand side of the bullet train, as you are going in the direction of Kyoto, you will see Mount Fuji. You'll get a massively amazing view of it, as I did a few months ago on the way to film the Kyoto video that came out the other day. Got the most amazing view, and it was right after Journey Across Japan, a trip in which I'd struggled to see it. And there it was, just on the bullet train, effortlessly. So frustrating. But, grab the bullet train. News this week, Japan has appointed a minister of loneliness to help people home alone. One of the sad things, while Japan has fared quite well in the face of the coronavirus, sadly it hasn't done so well in terms of suicide rates. In 2020, for the first time in 11 years, suicide rates in Japan went up because People have been trapped inside. People have lost their jobs. Most surprisingly, while male suicides fell slightly, rates among women surged 15%, particularly in October, when the female suicide rate went up by more than 70%, which they think is due to a celebrity who unfortunately took her life, Yuko Takeuchi, a really famous Japanese actress, took her life. And they noticed that in her taking her life, you could see the rate of suicides sort of skyrocket straight afterwards.
Right.
So celebrity suicides lead to more.
Know, I've sort of known people in my life who have taken their own life, and it has come strangely after one of their friends taking their lives. And I think it's kind of, it's obviously a bit of a panacea for people with you know, issues where they just think it's the only way out, which, you know, I guess it's hard to argue against when people are in that frame of mind. So yeah, very, very sad. But like you say, it's interesting that the female side of things has gone up when the male one hasn't quite so much. Weird.
Well, I was quite confused when I first read that statistic, but it becomes quite clear why that might be once you read into it. Like, Japan has seen a large rise in like single women living alone. Many of them. A lot more Japanese women are sort of turning their back on marriage in recent years, just because it doesn't often go that well. You know, people are choosing to just be solo, and as a result, because women aren't married, they have to support their own lives and they don't have any permanent jobs. Like, it's much tougher to get a good job as a woman in Japan. And so when something happens like the coronavirus, they're hit exponentially bad, especially as I think the sectors that women work in are, like, you know, we're talking tourism, which has been absolutely decimated in Japan in the last year. So they're exponentially affected, so that could be why. Don't know why, but it's a very sad kind of situation. And so Prime Minister Yoshihide Suga has designated a cabinet post to alleviate social isolation. Tetsushi Sakamoto has been tapped for the job. He will work to coordinate efforts across multiple ministries and agencies. What I didn't know is the UK already has a designated loneliness minister. I don't know much about it, but apparently we've got one. We have one since 2018, so it's been inspired by the UK.
I imagine that those loneliness ministers are really earning their coin at the moment, because it's never been harder to meet people. Oh no!
Well, let's hope. Let's hope Tetsushi Sakamoto does a better job than the chap who was recently overseeing the Olympics a few weeks ago, who decreed that. Yeah. Women aren't on the boards because they talk too much and they should be seen and not heard. That's
wow, strong.
At least he's not the bloody Minister of Loneliness. That would that would be the only way it could get bloody worse. But I mean, people often ask about suicide in Japan, why it's bad. I think there's multiple reasons. One reason is we don't have the sort of stigma, I think religious reasons, right? I think in Christianity, suicide is a sin, is it not? Well, it's historically.
Yeah, it is. Certainly Catholicism. Everything's a sin in Catholicism. I can only speak for my own upbringing in a Catholic school. But I think if you're looking for a way out, I don't think anyone in heaven or on earth is going to stop you, quite frankly. But do you not think it's just like the way that they treat mental ill health isn't as good as I think places, and there's a certain romanticism as well.
I don't know about romanticism. I know we've the culture of the samurai and how taking one's life, there's no, you know, it seemed to be honourable. There's no shame in it, even though it does devastate families and friends that have been left behind, sadly. I think, yes, mental health handled badly. I think it's because people in Japan aren't allowed to open up. Like, there's a, you know, it's a big part of the culture that you keep your thoughts to yourself. You don't share what you're really thinking. So it's always a surprise when someone famous like Yuko Takeuchi takes their life, because, you know, she just kept it to herself and then took her life, sadly. People are less vocal about their mental health. So I think, I guess it's twofold. It's not seen, it's people aren't able to vent their thoughts and seek help. And they're also, it's not seen as being a terrible kind of terrible thing. It's seen as being not necessarily honourable, but there's not much shame attached to it. So that's the twofold reason. But it's encouraging that it's been going down, though. You know, Japan had a really bad rate used to have the highest suicide rate in the developed world, but over the last decade they've had a lot of success in reducing it by around a third. So it's this unfortunate spike. Most surprisingly, male suicides fell though, didn't they? They fell slightly. It's just women who have gone up 15%. So hopefully this, it will continue to go down after this not so great year, and we can, hopefully it will get better. But we'll keep an eye on that story.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
This week at Sukarnov.
On the Luke and Pete Show, Luke introduced me to some bizarre animal warfare.
In the 70s, there was a... I can't remember going to say this, but I promise you it's true. There was a war, an actual war, between rival chimpanzee clans that went on for over 4 years.
Meanwhile, on abroad in Japan, Chris is facing off against a natural disaster.
So the same day that I'd run out of fuel, right, I was like, well, I made it in one piece. Thank you, God. And then, like, 5 hours later, the worst earthquake I've ever experienced. It was a 15-storey building shaking from side to side. It went on so long, I was like, this hotel's coming down, and I don't want to be in it when it does.
Listen to Abroad in Japan and the Luke and Pete Show, available on your favourite podcast player.
All that and a whole lot more at Sukarnov.
What we got in the fax machine this week, Mr. Donaldson?
We've got a message from, as my blummin' mobile phone freezes in front of my very eyes, we've got a message from, bloody thing, honestly, that's that spooky picture from last week, from just this, just spooking me out. We've got a message from Stephen. Again, I don't know what it is. Are people getting romantic after after Valentine's Day? Basically, this guy got into a situation with a woman in Tokyo that he met on Tinder. And he was in a place where he didn't speak the language. He didn't know anybody. He'd been with friends and he'd gone... I'm kind of paraphrasing because the email's rather long and involved. But basically, this guy met a woman on Tinder, went for a date. Mm. Neither of them spoke each other's language. And over the next 3 days, they just spent all of their time on little pocket translators getting in, you know. And they got a bit intimate at points. So you kind of think that maybe that's what it was all about. I know, Chris, you obviously spend a lot of time speaking to people who don't speak excellent English, but can you really find out anything about the other person if you're spending all of your time just kind of like typing something into a mobile phone and then smashing it over to the other person? It's all a little bit weird, isn't it?
Well, my first relationship with my Japanese girlfriend was like that, effectively. The language barrier was bonkers and it never got much better. You kind of just the conversations just I think in hindsight, looking back at it now, conversations are very boring, but at the time it was very exciting. I was learning new things, new Japanese, and she was learning English, right? So it was this kind of educational experience, and after a year or two that educational experience turned to frustration when we couldn't still have a serious conversation about politics or science or history, which is what I do when I'm sitting at a bar.
Oh, yeah, you do that all the time, don't you? You always, you know, you're a real history, science, politics buff, you are, mate. Yeah, always going on about that.
I love cracking out some geopolitics over a drink, and we couldn't do that. It was just like, oh, do you like this chicken? She's like, yes, it's good, isn't it? Oh, that's nice. And, it's doing with the dictionary. It's fun for the first bit, but then it's not fun. But we did have a nice story last week, didn't we, of Daniel and Ayumi. And for those of you that missed it, I encourage you to go back and listen, because we had two stories about Tinder. One of them didn't end so well. One of them ended very well with marriage. Spoilers. Mm. And so, I don't know, I'd still love to do a video on Tinder and the culture of dating. I think it's very exciting and interesting. Even though I don't know if I'd have much success on Tinder myself, but yeah.
Well, I mean, I think sort of saying, can I film this, would probably limit your, come and film our date, please. I think that would probably limit your choices. I don't think anybody would get involved with that. But look, it's the time of year where you can get out and take people on great dates, because the hanami, the sakura is kind of in at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, the old sakura starting to spring up already in South Japan. And we've got White Day coming up as well, you know, the day where guys have to give girls things. And I have to give, I think I've got to make stuff for the girls on Tokyo Creative. They made me some chocolate stuff.
Yes, I saw that. There was it looked like that really posh hotel chocolat stuff you see at train stations and at airports. I was very impressed with some of the creations they came up with.
Oh yeah, I mean, Charlotte and Aki did all right. Emma did the chocolate arse, which was unpleasant and awful. But, so I've got to think of something.
Where did she even get that mold from?
She probably made it herself. I don't fucking know. I don't know. I'll have to ask her, actually. That's a bit worrying. But what can I make them? You're a genius of creativity. What can I make them? Out of chocolate.
Oh.
Nothing crude, Pete.
Oh, out of chocolate.
It's family friendly.
Just you know, like when people on the internet, they make like massive cream eggs.
Right.
Like one of those bad boys. Chocolate like kind cream of. Egg. Yeah, like they make like a big cream egg. They sort of melt down chocolate and then, you know, make all of the mallow from inside, and then they just make a massive cream egg.
Horrible.
It's filled with it's disgusting. Trust me, that it looks absolutely disgusting.
I remember I don't know if they have chocolate eggs outside the UK. I don't know if our North American friends have them there, or you know. But I remember I gave one to Natsuki as a gift once, and he was really confused. He thought it was like an actual egg, and he got like some bread and dipped it in, like a bit off the top, and stuck some bread, some toast in the cream, and tried to eat it like a normal egg. So
yeah, kind of works, I guess. But I think I remember watching a guy. I'm mixing very easily things I've seen on the internet and things I've seen myself. But chocolate egg, if you're familiar. But cream eggs, they have cream in the middle. And this guy had a paper towel. He was on the tube, Northern Line, coming out of Morden. And he's just biting into the top.
Oh, God.
And he's taking ages to eat this bloody... He's making a real mess of it. Ugh. He's got chocolate all over his hands. He's got chocolate all over the paper towel. He's an absolute joker. Yeah, he just spent ages eating this single chocolate egg. Ooh. It was the most bizarre thing I'd ever seen. I felt like just giving him a shake and going, stop making a meal, a literal meal, out of this chocolate egg, you ridiculous human being. It's terrible. Imagine if he did that in Japan, just getting chocolate all over the walls and stuff like that. Ugh, gross.
I'll reenact that for my White Day treat for the girls. Yes. Somehow.
So in summary, I don't know what to make, what you should make for the girls.
Well, there's still time, ladies and gentlemen. Give me some ideas. What can I make out of chocolate for Aki, Charlotte and Emma? Let us know at abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. Keep the stories, questions coming into the fax machine. But for now, guys, enjoy the beginning of your week. And we'll be back on Wednesday to do it all over again on the Abroad in Japan podcast. Have a good one.
Peace out, Seacrest.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking, like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.